Okay, Cheskuni Parshas Kiseitze. So the Parsha begins with the Yifas Toar. So it says when you go to Warren, you'll find this lady that you want to bring home. You bring her home, you shave off all her hair, you have to cut her nails, and she has to get rid of her clothes. What's the purpose of all that? Why do you have to do that? So the Cheskuni explains, this lady who you're bringing home was a guy, now she's going to become a Yid. You bring her home. So she's going Minachola Lakodesh. And just like we find by the Metzora, when he wants to come back to Klal Yisrael, so he has to shave all his hair when he's going from outside to in, from being Chutz L'Machne, going back into Klal Yisrael, he has to shave off all his hair. It's like a Chol and a Kodesh. The Levium as well, when the Levium became Kodesh, so they also had to shave off all of the hair. So whenever you're going Michol ala Kodesh, like a Metzora, comes from being a Metzora to being back to regular Yisrael, or Levium, or in this Kaddish, to be Levium, you shave off all your hair. So too, she shaves off all her hair. And then we have that she gets rid of her clothes. Why is that? So the Cheskuni explains, because those are the clothes she used for Avodah Zarah. And just like we find when in Bereishis, when Yaakov told them to get rid of their Avodah Zarah and change their clothes. So that's what we want them to do, to change their clothes, so they don't use the clothes that they use to worship Avodah Zarah. Okay, then we have the story of a man has two wives, ha'achas ha'uva ve'achas snua. One is beloved, one is not, one is hated. So when it comes to being manchel his kids, he has to be makir ben asnua. What does it mean to be makir? To recognize, to be makir ben asnua? What's that lashon of being makir? So the Cheskuni explains, because the derech of people, when they don't want to help their relatives, they pretend they don't know them. So therefore the pasuk is telling him he can't do that. It's ben asnua yakir. Where do you find that lashon? Also by Rus. Rus said, Madua matzasi to Boaz, Madua matzasi chin be'enecha lahakireni, to be makir mi v'anochiach nachriya. So it means to notice me, to see that I'm here and take care of me. So that's the ben asnua yakir. Okay. Then we have the most, very fascinating idea of the ben sora amora. That if someone has a ben sora amora, they have a child who, it's a 13-year-old, but it's still a child, who goes and steals and wine and meat. So you kill him. Why? Because the Torah is made that, the way he's going now, he's going to, as he grows up, he's going to be robbing people and killing them for money so he can get what he needs. Okay, without getting into the explanation of all that, just the Cheskuni deals with a simple question, which is, since when do we judge people based on their future? Like, didn't we say Yishmael? By Yishmael, we said, Ba'asher Husham, right? Hashem judged him as he was then, not what he would do in the future. So, you see, we don't judge people about the future. So, how can you kill a kid now because of what he's going to do in the future? In other words, let's naniach, forget, how you know for sure. We're not going to get into that question. Let's say we know for sure that based on what this kid is doing now, he's going to be killing people when he gets older. So, Yishmael, we also, Hashem knew, was going to be, doing bad stuff, and Hashem judged him by Asher Husham. So, how you let it kill someone based on the future? How do we kill this Ben Saramora? So the Cheskuni explains that if you see Reuven running after Shimon to kill him, Reuven's trying to kill Shimon, you see him running after him with a gun, are you allowed to kill Reuven to stop him from killing Shimon? Yes. He didn't kill anyone yet. You can kill someone based on the future if you know they're going to kill someone. Okay, that's not really a kasha. The question is more Yishmael. So he says Yishmael's not a question either, because Yishmael at the time was a good person. So Hashem judged him then as a good person. Here we're talking about someone who is not a good person. He did something wrong already, right? The Yishmael had done zero wrong when we talk about him in the laning of Rosh Hashanah. He had done nothing wrong. He was a tzaddik at the time. He just became a Rasha later. This Ben Saramur is not a tzaddik. He's stole already. So we could be Nidon Al Shem Sofa, and that's why he gets killed now. Then we have the discussion of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. So we know you have to shoo away the mother before you take the birds. Why is that? So many explanations. But the Cheskuni says Because if you don't do that, if you take the eggs when the mother's right there, that's derech ra'avsonos and achzarias. It's a way of cruelty and like as if you need to eat too badly. It's a bad midos to just be cruel and eat like you're, a lowlife. And he adds, similarly, this is the reason, not just for Shiloh HaKein, this is the reason for Alos of Hashel Begidi B'chalev Imo, which is means eating milk and meat together. So it doesn't always literally happen where you're going to be eating the child and the mother's milk. But that's the concept. It's also, he says, it's a derech ra'av sonos and achzarias. It's cruel and it looks like you're too obsessed with food. So to the Osov Espinot, to shecht the mother and the baby. And also Netta Ravai. So eating the mother and the son in the same day, and Netta Ravai, which is to bring the fourth year's fruits to Yerushalayim. That's also apparent. He says it's a derech ra'av sonos to not do that. So anyway, that's his pshat here, that all of these things are from the same reason. It's not to be derech ra'av sonos. If that's really true, you see the Torah must really care about it then. So I guess that's something to keep in mind when you eat, to not eat in a cruel way and not derech ra'av sonos. Okay. And by the way, it says, if you do shiloh ha'ken svarachta yamim, why? He says, because it's mida keneged mida, because you left the mother over, so you left the ikker, so Hashem will leave you over. Okay. Then we have the isser of kelayim, different kinds of kelayim. One of the kelayim is that you can't plow with an ox and a donkey together, a shor and a chamor. The Torah gives those specific examples, even though it's not really limited to those examples, but you can't use two different minim, plow with two different minim of animals. But it lists shor and chamor, so he gives some very interesting explanations why a shor and a chamor. He says, because a shor, listen to this, a shor is malagera, right? So it chews its cud. A chamor does not. So the chamor is going to look to the right and see his friend is eating, and he's not, even though the shor is just chewing its cud. And the donkey is going to look like he's got food, and I don't have that tzar bala chayim, okay? Furthermore, the shor is considered the king of the behema world, and the shor is on the kisya kavod, and the chamor is exactly the opposite. It's a low-level animal. So therefore, a shor and a chamor together is particularly bad. Okay, anyway, that's the hesber for why those two are mentioned together specifically. Then we have the other another kind of kelayim of shatnez, will and limb, and temra pishtim. And what is this is all just giving explanations. What's wrong with wool and linen specifically? So the Chizkun explains, because through them being together caused a great destruction of the world, because Cain and Hevel brought from the Bechoros Tzono, which is the wool, and Cain brought from Pishtim, so it's the Pishtim, so the two of them together, when it was brought as a carbon, was not good, therefore we don't wear them together. That's his explanation. That's elsewhere too. And the other explanation was what the Chizkuniya said elsewhere, that it's not that there's anything wrong with those two, it's just, in fact, maybe the opposite. That's what a Kohen wears. A Kohen wears Tzemer Pishtim as part of the Big Day Kahuna, and because it's Miuchad for Kahuna, therefore nobody else should be wearing it. It's Miuchad for Avoda, it's set aside for doing the Avoda, therefore nobody else should be wearing Shatnez. Right, so in that pshat, it's not negative wool and linen, it's the opposite. They're a super holy thing, and it's set aside for Avoda, that's why other people can't use it. And later on in the parsha, in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Ches, we have that you can't be Metayev and Adomi or a Mitri, and therefore the third generation can marry into the Jewish people. So we're not Metayev them, we're not disgusted with them, rather the third generation can marry in. Why the third generation? Because there were issues with them, so we can't marry them even if they are Megayer. Right away, but the third generation, yes, unlike others that we can't be Megari with. Why? Because we were a Gir Baritzo, or he's our Achicha. But why three generations? So the Chizkuni explains, because that's when Kurva ends. Kurva doesn't, it's a very interesting thing, we find this in Chazal a couple places, that you're not really related to your great-grandchild. I mean, you are related, of course, but it means that feeling of closeness extends to a child and a grandchild. After that, it's not really considered related. Again, if you are related, but there's a certain type of kurva that doesn't count after a great grandchild. After a grandchild, a great grandchild is not considered kurva, so that's why it's three generations. I actually heard a story of, I don't know if it's true, a big gadol was invited to his great grandchild's chasana, and he wouldn't go because he said, "I'm not related," and he wanted to learn. Anyway, okay, we're considered. Not the same relation. On the other hand, Rav David Feinstein, you know, was asked about this, and he said he felt the same love. He didn't understand it. Okay. Anyway, it's not considered full korva. Okay. Also, if you want to look at it, it's in Pasuk Chaf Hei and Perek Chaf Gimel. He lists all the mitzvahs that come on, and says, you know, in Sefer Dvarim, everyone agrees you darish smuchim. You have to be darish by one thing is next to the next. We have a lot of mitzvahs all jumped together, bundled together here. So you just, if you'll see, they just calls many of them some version of oshek, of stealing or heard taking money from people. Even by Yibum, he says the lady who does, the husband who doesn't want to marry his wife and they do chalitza, it's like a type of oshek. And then we have, of course, the different measurements. Amalek is oshek yishal, it's Pidrush, kind of that way. Okay. Now, there's a very interesting two pesukim about tzaras over here in Perek Chavdala, Pasuk Ches. It says, "Hishamer b'negat tzaras, be careful with the negat tzaras. Lishmer ma'od v'lasos kol hasheyuos chem ha'kohanim levim kasher tzivitzim tishmer v'lasos. Follow whatever the kohanim levim tell you about tzaras." Okay. So Rashi tells us this means not ripping off simani tuma, and follow whatever the kohen says. If he puts you aside, you have to be in Hezger 7 more days, or he says you're tamei. And then the next pasuk is Zachar says Asher Asa Hashem Lekechal Miriam Vedech Betzeischem in Mitzrayim. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam, that she got tzaras for speaking Lashon Hara. So what are the connection of those two pesukim? Okay, we understand. They're both talking about tzaras. But listen to the Chizkuni. It's very interesting. He said, what does it mean, Hishamer B'negat Tzaras? Not just listen to the Kohen. It means be careful about the Negat Tzaras, even for big people. In other words, you should be careful always B'negat Tzaras, even if the person coming to you with this nega is a big rabbi, don't be nervous to tell him he has to go chutz l'shgimah machanos, and don't feel bad about it because look what happened to Miriam. Anyway, that's its pshat. The last thing is, I think, pretty simple, but just he's explaining Rashi. Towards the end of the parasha, we have that you can't have faulty measurements when you're for your business. So it says in Pasuk Yudalit at the end, Lo yielecha bebeitzcha eifa ve'eifa gedola v'ktana. Don't have different measurements, big and small. What does big and small mean? Rashi says, gedola shi makcheshes es ha-ketana. The big one that's makchesh the katana, that makes the small one a liar. So what does that mean? The big one makes the small one a liar. Okay. So the Chizkuni explains to us what Rashi means. It's a trick. Let's say you have two measurements. One is together, let's say it's 2 pounds worth of stuff, and you have two measurements. Together it's 2 pounds. And they look more or less the same. So you can tell the guy, look, here, I'll weigh it on the scale. You see it's 2 pounds? Okay, and they look more or less the same, but really one of the sticks is 1 1/4 pounds, the other one is 3/4 of a pound. The guy's not going to be able to tell with the naked eye. So when you measure with the big one, and then it's going to be makhish, makhish meaning it'll take away. When you use the other measurement, it'll take away from when you use a different measurement from the first one, it takes it away. So he's the guy. In other words, the guy's going to think he has more, and you're going to take it away by weighing it with a faulty measure. So you can't have a big one that's makhish, a small one. That's the case, he's saying. It's where you have these two sticks that look basically alike, but one's really a little heavier than the other, and the way you sell it to the guy is by weighing them together, because together they equal the 2 pounds, and he's not going to realize that one is a little bit heavier, and then the big one will be makhish, the small one. I forgot to mention one thing about Yibum that he mentions. What is chalitza? The process of chalitza is, of course, that the man is wearing a shoe, and the woman takes off her shoe, throws it across the room, then spits in front of him, right? So what's happening in that scenario? So there's the pasha pshat, and there's other pshat. So the Chizkuni tells us, I guess more of a type of pasha pshat, that she's trying to say that she's taking off his shoes. That's like to say, if you want to do Yibam to me, so I'll even work for you like a Shivcha. And he says, no, I'm not interested, because that's what he says to her. Then she spits in front of him like you're a little life bum. I guess that's like kind of like the Pashup shot. Now he quotes that, the Tshuvas Haminim. I'm not exactly sure. You know, it could be because once she takes off his shoe, the show's over. I mean, the spinning in front of him is not ma'akev. You know, once she takes off the shoe, it's not like, oh, okay, now you could do Yibam. No, it's too late. Once she takes off the shoe, they're not doing Yibam. So it's not exactly like she takes off the shoe to show, hey, really, you know, we can make this work. And not really. Because once she takes off the shoe, they can't be married anymore. They can't do Yibam. But maybe that's the conceptual idea. He calls it, that pshat is l'tshuvas haminim, to answer apikorsim. But what he says is the real pshat is the chalitz of the Nal is a type of kinyan, like chalipin. What they're doing is a chalipin, and she takes off a shoe, and with that she is kona, the Yerusha of her dead husband. In other words, the boy, the man who would have done Yibam, who would have inherited all his brother's stuff, he's giving that back to her, in the sense that at least her ksuva, she's getting back, she'll get from him. So he's being makna her at least some of the Yerushas of his brother. Okay, well, stop there.